even if you say Ishvara Parama Krishna Valishwara, that's the supreme controller, he's the controller, he's this, he's this. But it's all impersonal, practically. He's not a person, but you know, what the sloka is saying, it's okay because it's all describing the absolute one. The Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasana Krishna is that person, supreme personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, who would have known otherwise? Because everybody's using this slokas and things like that, glorifying Krishna, but it's all meant to reveal the impersonal Brahman. So this is the glory of meeting the devotees, or even a few moments association. immediately we get introduced to Krishna. Thank you, very nice point, Maharaj. So, Krishna's appearance. I read a little bit about the appearance of Krishna. Okay, this is chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. From reading from the Krishna book. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth and activities are all transcendental. And one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance and or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. So Prabhupada's quoting here from Srimad Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance in my activities, he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. So, just previous to that shloka, Krishna described his transcendental nature. He says, when I appear here through my transcendental nature. I'm not forced to appear like everyone else through the agency of the three modes of material nature. That is not how Krishna appears. He's not forced to appear. We didn't have any saying how we appeared in this body. It was given to us according to what we deserved. But we had no real choice or say in the matter. But Krishna's not like that. He doesn't have a body forced on him. He comes by his own desire and his internal potencies manifest the Krishna's form, name, pastimes. It's all being done under his eternal potency. So the birth of Krishna is not just a one-time thing, it's going on eternally. So just by understanding one thing about Prabhupada, just understand that one thing. If you remember Krishna, that when he appears here, he doesn't appear here by the external potency, but he appears by his own internal potency. Then you go back to Godhead. There's one thing you have to remember about Krishna. This is the kindness of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna. Again, manmana bhavamapa, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. It's like four things Krishna mentioned. Prabhupada said, just one of those things is sufficient. You just remember Krishna at the time of, or his name, form, anything about him. Just one thing is sufficient to take you back home, back to Godhead. But how rare is this in this world that people would actually fix their mind on Krishna when they're leaving their body? It's very rare, but now Prabhupada's made it very commonplace, and we're so lucky to the way Prabhupada's designed this movement to have this facility to be able to remember Krishna. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. It begins with this point: what is the duty of a person, especially the person who's about to leave his body? And the answer is to always hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada's given this facility, and this is what our whole practice of Krishna consciousness is for. So we can remember Krishna at the time of leaving the body. So then the whole process becomes very easy. We become fixed, become convinced by following the whole process, hearing the philosophy. And so it's actually Krishna consciousness is a practice for the time of leaving your body. Antanarayan Smriti, this is the injunction of the Vedas, the final conclusion of the Vedas at the time of leaving, but the end, one should remember Vishnu or Krishna. So this is what we're doing, we're practicing this final test of remembering Krishna when we leave our body. So therefore we've got all these wonderful stories that Srila Prabhupada's given us, and so much philosophy is there, that it becomes very easy and joyful for us to execute the process. If the process is joyfully performed, and as Maharaj was saying, and then Prabhupada revealed Krishna, here he is. And when we heard that, we accepted it immediately. Many people immediately accepted it. I accepted it immediately. And I became so happy. That was the result. Here's what I'm looking for. This is what I've been searching for. It's all, and it's just there in Krishna. Prabhupada, here is Krishna. And yeah, this is the ultimate object of our searching, of our longing, is when we contact Krishna. So I was so happy to hear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's greatness, that he's made us happy by giving us Krishna. When we know Krishna, we know he's our destination. What more do we have to worry about? The problem of this material world, birth, death, old age, disease. What can you do? But the devotee doesn't have this problem. It doesn't mean he's going to not get diseased or grow old or die. But this is the last birth. So the devotee has a wish. It's going to happen, but this is the last time, no rebirth. So obviously we become very happy because we've solved the main problems of the material world, birth, death, old age and disease. Yeah. So the Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet will. When the time is mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of a star known as Rohini was predominant. This star is considered to be very auspicious, and it is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. Simply by Krishna's presence, everything became auspicious because he is the control. He's a controller of all the universal controllers, those who can, the stars and everybody, all these different aspects that have influence on the living entities in this material world. There are 33 crores of devatas. Everyone has some point of control in the body. 33 crores of demigods. So if you want to worship the demigods who are controlling us, you've got 33 to worship, 33 demigods. But when Krishna appears, they all understand, no, we are servants of Krishna. So automatically everything is adjusted to please Krishna. So then everything became auspicious in this universe. So when things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time can be compared to the rising of the full moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared in the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. And therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon itself is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition, and so by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just like a full moon. In an astronomical treatise by the name Kamanakya, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Supreme Truth. Vasudeva saw that wonderful newborn child as a baby with four hands, holding a conch shell, club, disc and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Sribatsha, wearing jeweled necklace of Kushtabaj stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and beautified by an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudeva was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? He could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. And Vasudeva very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity, conditioned by material nature, and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, had appeared as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nicely clothing, fully equipped with all signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these incidences are proof of the supremacy of the Lord. Because who can match Krishna? Krishna here is a description of his birth. He had long hair from birth, ornaments on his body. No earthly child is born decorated with ornaments and clothes on as well. He had yellow clothes on. So beautifully decorated. So nobody can match Krishna in any part of Krishna's activities, from his birth to his disappearance time. Nobody could equal Krishna's activities. And so he came to perform and show all these activities. Here I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, birth in the material world means they take you to the hospital, pull the baby out, dip him in a bucket of disinfectant, and that's it. And also, what's it to be compared with Krishna's beautiful appearance with his beautiful ornaments and hair and everything like that? So all of Krishna's activities are beyond compare. Krishna come to show this. Just like when Prabhupada was meeting with Professor Potofsky, something like that, in Russia, a Russian professor. And Prabhupada quotes him all the time in his books. Big professor. He said to me, "Swamiji, at the time of death, everything is finished." And he's a big professor. So anyway, Prabhupada, he said, "Okay." He used to start arguing with him, these professors, atheistic professors. So Prabhupada said, "Okay." He said, "Now, what's the difference between you and me?" He said, you're a follower of Marx and Lenin, your communist heroes. You're a follower of them, right? He said, yes. And he said, I'm a follower of Krishna. Yes. He said, so we're both followers. He said, yes, that's right. He said, so now, let's see who is following the more perfect person. Karl Marx, they are the perfect person, so Krishna is the perfect person. Okay, was Karl Marx born like this with his decorations and ornaments and beautiful hair on his body? So in every aspect of Krishna's life, if we have to surrender to someone, well, why not the best? Your Karl Marx are full of imperfections, but Krishna, you don't find any imperfection. So at every stage of Krishna's life, he was doing this. He was proving he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yeah, so this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is who we are taking shelter of. Krishna. So why we should have fear in this material world? Big demons were coming. The big was, it was a Keshi demon. Is it Keshi? Or the Arista. Keshi. Big horse. Huge. When he put his tail up like that, he started to knock the clouds at the, push the clouds out of the sky. He was that big, his tail was in the sky. You know, up at the clouds there. And he was ferocious and he was making horse sounds and digging in the earth and things like that. That's cool, is it? Anyway, ferocious. And he's gonna kill Krishna. Both the demons, the bull and the horse demon. Big sharp horns and angry. Huge, like mountains. And Krishna just standing there and his friends standing there leaning on his shoulder. Big demon coming. They have no fear. We'd be running away like anything, but he's leaning on Krishna's shoulder. Big horse, big bulls are coming here. Where Krishna's here. He can easily kill these demons. Why are we worried? The big Agasaur is there. What's this big demon? It looks like a big snake with a big mouth. Looks like he's going to swallow us. Anyway, who cares? Krishna's with us. We don't care. We go in the mouth of Agasaur. Let's go. We're going with their friends, happy and everything. Krishna's here. Nothing's going to happen. So, completely carefree, completely. Depending on we have this person, Krishna, behind us. Krishna is known as Trivikram. He's a little five-year-old boy and he just puts his toe through the universe. This is who we are worshipping. This is Krishna. This is the personality of Godhead whom we have taken shelter of. If he can put his, as a little boy, if he can put his toe through the universe, what can he not do? So this is who we have taken shelter of. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati often used to use this example. Remember who is behind you, Trivikram. Krishna, he does impossible tasks. We can't even imagine it. He can do these things. It's not ever a big thing for him. He becomes a tortoise, a gigantic tortoise. It's so big. But it's holding up a huge mountain and they're churning the mountain on the form of the tortoise. Why does he become a tortoise? Why did he accept that form? Why did that pastime take place, the demigods and the demons? Because Krishna had an itching sensation on his back. And he thought, you know, it's nice to scratch your back when it itches. You have a back scratcher sometimes. So he had a little itching sensation. So he decided to scratch his back. So maybe it was just out of reach. So then So Krishna can scratch his back, the whole universe becomes involved. All the demigods, all the demons. What is it to scratch your back? But when Krishna scratches his back, the whole universe is involved. Churning the rod. So it's not extraordinary for Krishna, they're all extraordinary for us. But so he's come to show us these extraordinary features of the Supreme Person of God that were never equaled throughout his whole life. Yeah, so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would preach to his disciples. That's who's behind you. Look who's behind you. You have, so you simply preach fearlessly. Why you should not? You've got the absolute truth. It's not although he came and he went, he's still here, he's still with us. Different forms and different features. Why we should be fear of anything? So you just simply, you go out and preach fearlessly, understanding that Trivikram is behind you. The little boy who can put his toe through the universe. You don't have to worry for anything. Actually, he had a vision, it's mentioned in the biography, that he was, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was at the Jogapit. And he described from the eastern direction, he saw the Panchatattva coming. And all the devotees were there. This means the six Goswamis, means Gokishodas, Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They'd already left the planet by that time. But they all came to him. And they said, now you should give up your austerities. Because he was doing very severe austerity in here. Mayapur, 3 lakhs names every day. For 10 years, he took that vow. 10 years. And this was right at the end of that. So Panchatattva personally came and all the parampara with him. You give up all of these austerities, now you go out and preach. Look, we're all behind you. The whole parampara is there. So all the different forms of the Lord, the different acharyas. We're all behind you. Whenever you need money, we will send as you need. Whenever you need manpower, we have unlimited resources. So you don't have to worry about anything. Just go out and preach fearlessly. You have the Lord Trivikram, he's behind you, he's yours. So he, Krishna, is our savior. So this is why we are studying Krishna philosophy every day, hearing the classes. We're convincing ourselves more and more and more of the wonderful supremacy of the Lord, and how we're in such safe hands in Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So this is Krishna's appearance. So Vasudeva was taking Krishna, he was instructed, you take Krishna when he was born, you take him to the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in Vrindavan. So automatically all the chains and locks became open, the door came open. And all the guards were sleeping because the influence of Yogamaya was there. And Vasudeva was able to take Krishna to Vrindavan, because he was in Mathura. King Kamsa was at his palace in Mathura. So he wasn't so far. But it was raining heavily, but Anantadev came and to shelter Krishna, because that's his service. Balaram is his seat, his umbrella. So he became an umbrella. So Krishna didn't get wet. And when he came to the Jamuna, it was in full flood because there's a heavy storms were going on. He said, how can I get across? And then the Jamunaji opened a made path for Krishna. So then Vasudeva, he crossed, but then Krishna slipped from his hand, actually, that time. Fell in the water. Rushing water, muddy water. How you can save babies? Suddenly, Vasudeva, they're frantic. What's going to happen? Then suddenly Jamunaji came. Here is Krishna. I just wanted to play with him a minute. Okay, take him back now. So they took him back to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And so everyone was sleeping, Yashoda was sleeping, and Vasudeva exchanged the child for Jasoda's child. Actually, Jasoda gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. So the Vasudeva Krishna, he carried them and put him with Jasoda, and he took the daughter, the twin. She was a twin to Krishna. So then, then he took her, took the daughter back. Then in the morning, they heard child crying, so all the soldiers went to tell Kamsa. Kamsa came. Now the cruel death of my life has appeared. He was scared like any shaky. He's always been fearful, but now the actual birth. And then he saw that the baby was a girl, and he said, "There's a prophecy from the sky. He said it's going to be a male child. Can't even believe in the Akashvani, the oracle, the mystical celestial voice from the sky. I can't even believe these now." It said the male child will come as a female child. But anyway, Kamsa was so cruel, he said, "I'd kill her anyway, because she never knows what's going to happen." And then he was going to smash her on the stone, but she slipped, went up in the air and became Durga Devi. She's actually Yogamaya Devi. She was born in as Yogamaya Devi. When she came to the prison house of Kamsa, because Kamsa, he can't touch Yogamaya, so at that time she became Mahamaya, Durga. She became known as Durga. Yeah, so she flew up in the sky and she said, "Kamsa, you think you can kill me? I'm the controller under Krishna's dictation. I control all the worlds. Everything that's happening is all being done by me in this material world. You think you can actually kill me?" So So this was Kamsa, always thinking of Krishna. Narad Muni indirectly praising Kamsa. He said, "So Krishna conscious." He's always remembering Krishna, Kamsa. He's going to his palace and he said, eight steps. Oh, the eighth son of Devaki is going to kill me. He goes in the see the eight ministers are coming. Oh, eight ministers. Eighth son of Krishna's Devaki's going to kill me. So Narada Muni saying, "Wow, he's really Krishna conscious." He's always singing to Krishna. He sees Krishna everywhere. But he's unfavorable. That's the difference. So Krishna consciousness should be favorable. That he comes, it was unfavorable. For him, it was unfavorable. But he was very, very Krishna conscious. He was always thinking, "Krishna, he's going to come and kill me." So even the big demons, they always get defeated by Krishna. No one can defeat Krishna in any way, in any form. He's a little boy like that. He just completely bewildered Brahma, who's got four heads. He's all pervading in this universe. So powerful. He's the most powerful person in the universe, practically. And steals Krishna's friends and calves. Because he's thinking, they're saying this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this little boy. He goes out herding cows. And how he can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Let me see. And I'll play a trick. So he stole all the calves and the boys and put him in the cave. Brahma goes back and he gets, anyway, the old Brahma Vimahalila, Brahma becomes completely bewildered. And then he's offering his nice prayers to Krishna, beautiful prayers. And he says that Brahma says, he said, here you, after I become completely bewildered by you, but I see you standing before you now with a little morsel of food in your hand, and you've got a bugle and the and your stick in your belt, and your flute is there. You've got some peacock feathers in your hand, you've got color clothing and minerals, and you're standing like a little boy, and you've got that was yogurt and fruits and sweet sandesh, or some sugar, sweet at least, that Krishna was holding in his, because he was eating his lunch, yogurt and fruit. And it was trickling through his fingers, and he was little boy. And Brahma said, to see you like this, you look like an ordinary village boy. It looks like you have insufficient education. You're just like a little boy looking for your lost cause. It looks like you have insufficient education, but there is so much difference between your body and my body. And I'm Lord Brahma. I cannot estimate. And Krishna's thinking, who's this funny man with four heads? Because Brahma was saying he can't be God, he's an ordinary person. So that's how he approached Krishna. So Krishna said, he reciprocates. So I'm an ordinary person, that's how I have to reciprocate. So he says, so who's this funny man with four heads? I wish he'd hurry up and go on away, because I can't understand a word of what he's saying, and I just want to go be out with my friends and look after our calves again. So even Krishna's what? He's less than 5 years old. Even Lord Brahma, he bewilders Lord Brahma in all of these situations. Such a nice pastime. That in the early Krishna book, Jadarani painting, I think, that picture is there with Krishna. She's caught him just right, Krishna's expression. So beautiful. He's just a little boy, 5-year-old boy. So these Krishna's manifesting of these pastimes. And showing his supremacy at every step. When Krishna went to Mathura, and he had just arrived there, and Nakura said, you please come to my place. Krishna said, no, maybe later. We're going to have a look at the city of Mathura. We've never been to a big city before. We're from a village. So Krishna Balaram and some of his friends, they just went to have a look at a big city. And everything was great. Big palatial buildings everywhere. Marble, golden gates and doors. And everything jewel studded and beautiful. Beautiful place. And everybody's heard Krishna's coming, Krishna's coming. They'd heard about him but never seen him before. But now they could actually see him. So especially all the ladies, they all rushed up onto the roof and they're all looking down, and Krishna was coming and throwing flowers on Krishna. Rushing to see Krishna, they forget to dress properly, put my kajal on one eye and things like that. Forget to comb their hair, or just, Krishna's here. Well, after all this, we've heard about him. Let's go and see him there. And he just completely captures their eyes, and Krishna's strolling through the streets, very carefree and looking at all the madhajis and on the rooftops and dealing with everybody. And then they see the washerman and dyer of cloth. And Krishna says, oh, nice cloth you've got there. We, you know, really like some. If you could give some, we'll be really benefited if you can give us some of that cloth. But unfortunately, that washerman, he was a servant of Kamsa. He was a servant of Kamsa. So he said, hey, you cheeky little boys, you know this is Kamsa's cloth. You're asking to give me the king's cloth? People get punished for this. If you continue like this, you'll get, Kamsa will come and send his soldiers, and you'll be punished. He's very, so Krishna didn't like that. So I approached him in a nice attitude, and he's, why so unkind? So then Krishna, he cut his head off with his hand. A very unusual weapon. You can't cut with a hand. You need a knife or a sword or something. It's like Ramahashana Shuta when you Balaram picked up a piece of kusha grass. Kusha grass is sharp, but it won't cut off a head. But here, by Krishna just cut off his head in the middle of the street, and okay, picked up a nice cloth. They all put these cloths and turbans and sashes, and all the friends took all the other cloth. So they were feeling good, and they were walking down the street, all dressed up and couture. And then they met the florist Sudama. And he was so happy, oh, Krishna Balaram, please come. He gave them some worship and everything like that. He said, please let me make a choice garland for you. So he made all the best flowers he had and the best flower garlands he knew, he made for Krishna Balaram. And Krishna was very happy. Thank you, he said. All of your material desires will be fulfilled as long as you're living here. And when you leave your body, you're going to go back home, back to Godhead. You can enjoy it now. You can enjoy it in the spiritual world. You have no problem. And then they met Kubja. Kubja was a hunchback woman, Trivikra. She was bent in three ways, her neck and her chest and her head or something. Three ways she was bent, and she hunchback. So Krishna said, we'll have a little bit of fun here. So he said to his friend, look, Lord, we'll have a little, we'll play around with this. This is the Harsha Rasa. This is comedy, Harsha, laughing. Don't you see, actually what's manifesting now is a Harsha Rasa. We'll have a little bit of fun. So Krishna said, oh, my beautiful, straight young lady, beautiful lady. What have you got? What are you carrying in your hand? Well, I've got this sandal of Gandha, nicely scented thing. Gandha generally contains some aguru musk, sun chandan, things like that, saffron, camphor. I have this, I make every day for Kamsa, and he's very much pleased with my service. But now I see, seeing you and your brother Krishna Balaram, I see there's no one better than to receive this chandan than you. You're so. I'm captivated by it, so let me offer you this. Even though it was meant for Kamsa, she immediately wanted to offer to Krishna. She was so attractive. So she ornamented the bodies of Krishna and Balaram with all this nice cooling scented chandan paste. And so then Krishna, he said, my mission here is to relieve the burden of the earth. And because you have this burden of your hump, I have come to remove these burdens of the world. Kubja is actually an incarnation of Shatyabama, who is Bhudevi, Prithivi, the earth. And Krishna expresses her as an earthly mother. So her name is Prithivi, the earth planet earth. So, or Shatyabama. So she's actually the eternal husband of Krishna anyway, in the form of Kuchasita. So, but she's that potency, the earth potency. So Krishna says, I've come to remove the burden of the earth. And because you are the earth personified and you've got the burden on your back, this hump, see, hunchback, I come to remove it. So then Krishna, he put his toes on her toes and then he pushed her up straight. She became very straight and beautiful, no hunchback, no bends anywhere. And she was, again, a beautiful young girl. She became very, very happy, and naturally she, from being like that, and suddenly she got a beautiful body. She became so attracted to Krishna. Started to flirt with him, grabbed his cloth and said, why don't you come with me to my house? You can't let me go like this. Krishna says, well, I'm a young boy, I'm away from home. So meeting young ladies like you is, but actually I'm with all my friends. But anyway, later on I can come and see you. So Krishna has satisfied all of his devotees as they were reciprocating with Krishna. And because Kubja was the personification of the earth planet, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am the fragrance of the earth. So at the earth personified, then she offered her essence, being the earth, Bhumi Devi, Prithibi, being the earth personified, she offered her essence to Krishna in the form of that scent. I am the fragrance of the earth. So that Chandan was her offering of her essence of the earth. So this was Krishna. He's so carefree. It's a big city. He's performing his activities. All the boys were laughing at the incidents, the Hasaras. Kubja had a conjugal feeling. The other spectators had astonishing relationship, seeing all these wonderful things happen. Every moment with Krishna, it's something wonderful is happening. That's just Krishna's nature. So then he sees, he goes to the Danu, that is called the Dhanu Yagna. It was a big bow, the Danu, it was a big, huge bow. It was like the symbol of the sacrifice. They're having a big sacrifices there, Kamsa inviting, is a big program. So that was like a symbol, you know, have a theme or something, but it was a big bow. And there were guards there. Anyway, Krishna saw the bow, a big bow there, so he can play with it. So he picked it up quite easily and he strung it. And he just, he broke in two as he brought it back. It was nothing for Krishna. Huge, huge bow. And all the guards became angry and they started to chastise Krishna. Krishna started to kill them. Kill them off. Not caring for anything. Not caring for the law and order of Kamsa. He's just strolling the streets of Mathura. Then Kamsa had instructed, if Krishna gets this far, you set that big elephant, Kulvalapitya, gigantic elephant, you kill Krishna when he comes. So immediately that caretaker, he tried to charge Krishna with the elephant and squash him. So Krishna was very, very dexterous. And somehow or another, Krishna went around the backside. The elephant, he can't see very far, so he couldn't see Krishna hiding behind him. And then Krishna kneeled down behind his back, in front of his back legs, and when the elephant went to move, he fell over, he tripped over it. He tried to gouge Krishna in the floor with his tusks. But then Krishna, he grabbed his trunk and he jumped up on his head and he just broke one of the tusks off. And he started to beat it. He killed the elephant with his own tusk. So Kamsa sent a small squadron of soldiers there. But then Krishna and then Balaram took the other tusk. And then they just started killing all the soldiers with these tusks. And they were all blissful. Krishna was sweating a little bit. And little drops of sweat and little drops of blood from the elephant. And they made him look very nice. So this is Krishna, absolutely carefree. He goes to the big city, King Kamsa, powerful king. Nobody could kill Kamsa. And Krishna says, this is who is looking after us. Simply, completely carefree. And just performing all these wonderful activities. From there he kills the big wrestlers. They had the wrestling match, Krishna. They started the festivities and they started playing the drums, announcing the starting, but Kamsa was saying, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Everyone was there, but Krishna wasn't there. So Kamsa was waiting there. He was the king, emperor. He had to wait for Krishna. Krishna went down to the Jamuna with his friends to take bath and play in the Jamuna for a little while. And then they heard all the drums playing. Oh, let's go and have a look. See, the festival started. We're going to have a look. So then Krishna goes. So everywhere Krishna goes, it's like it's a happening, you know. Until he goes there, nothing's much. It's happening. But wherever Krishna goes, it turns into a festival. So he comes back, and then immediately it's everything is centered around Krishna. The whole consciousness, the whole attention. Just like we're having Julan, we was explaining, or it's been explained. These are the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Before that was Holi. And after the Julan pastime, it'll be bath. They take bath in the Jamuna and things like that. So that's Krishna, you know. Like you get the young boys moving around sometimes. Oh, let's go here, the young kids. Let's go there. Well, it's kind of spontaneous. Let's go over there. And they all run over there and do it. Let's go over here. They're all running backwards to different places. So it's just like that. Oh, let's play Holi. Oh yeah, good idea. So they all start playing Holi. Krishna's the center, and then kind of, oh, let's go on the swing. Yeah, let's play Julan. And it's all around Krishna. Nothing's happening. It's wherever he goes, everything becomes alive. And, oh, just go play in the Jamuna. Okay, then. They all go. So then everything is happening around Krishna. Prabhupada was actually the same. Wherever Prabhupada went, but it was kind of an incident, something happened. And Bhavananda said, Prabhupada, wherever you go, it always turns out into some kind of incident. Prabhupada laughing, and he used to repeat it. He said, how Bhavananda says, wherever we go, we have some incident, some magic, some... so he's like, he was the center of everything. So Krishna is like that. Wherever he goes, then everything starts happening. So nothing happens until he gets there, even the king and the whole program. Still, he had to wait for Krishna to come, and then everything got into action, and immediately fighting with the big wrestlers. Mushtika, Chanura, Toshala, Shala, famous wrestlers. When Krishna killed them all, Krishna and Balaram killed them all. So this is the Krishna we are worshipping. He has asked the city, six qualities: beauty, strength, fame, wealth, renunciation. No one's equal in the world. He has all these different kinds of cities. Lighter than the lightest, when he jumped off the mountain, when Jarasandha was chasing him, Krishna Balaram went up the mountain 88 miles high. They jumped off the top of that mountain. Everyone is going to get squished if you do that. Krishna, Agima Lagima, Animara Lagima city. Come lighter than the lightest. And you know that picture of Prahlad in the Bhagavatam, this picture in the Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad off the mountain. And there's a picture of Krishna standing underneath the mountain catching Prahlad. Prabhupada said it wasn't exactly like that. But he gave him the Animara Lagima, lighter than the lightest city. Anima. Huh? Anima, okay. Anima city. He became light as a feather, so when Prahlad fell off the mountain, it's just like a feather. It wasn't hurt. Heavier than the heaviest, when Trinavrata took Krishna away, and then Krishna just, what did he do? He just became heavier and heavier and heavier. Trinavrata couldn't hold him, he's a huge demon. Krishna's a little kid, baby practically. Oh, he put on that heavy city, forcing down to death. So, every activity of Krishna practically was proclaiming his supremacy, that nobody equaled these activities in history, in the past, the present, or it's unlikely they'll ever do it in the future. So that Krishna is that person who's behind us, is that person we are taking shelter of. And then at the end of the Bhagavatam, again his glories are described. Krishna's with his married 16,000 queens, 16,000 palaces, and didn't have to wait 16,000 nights to be with each queen. He expanded himself into 16,000 Krishnas to be with each queen every day, all the time. So then the description, and they would play in the water and play Holi and dresses would become wet and the kumkum would. And Prabhupada said, it seems like a big exhibition of sense gratification. He said, the Maya bodies would never ever dare to think that anything like this could happen. So it looks like a very rajistic sense gratification. Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out, no, this is, Krishna is unlimited in all of his aspects. He is that supreme enjoyer. So Krishna can do this completely independently. He can do as he likes. He's, the Prabhupada said, the Maya bodies, they don't dare to believe that anything like this can happen. So they are Krishna deludes them. They are kept away from, far away from Krishna's pastimes, so they don't interfere. And Sukadeva Goswami said there are five exceptional qualities of Krishna at the end of the 10th canto. One was the goddess of fortune. How she, everybody's worshipping the goddess of fortune, even Brahma and Shiva. Everybody wants fortune. But she herself is not interested for staying around, so she always here and there. You have got fortune one moment, you lost, next moment you lost. This is Lakshmi, she's fickle. But she could not leave Krishna's lotus feet. Everyone else she leaves after some time, some generations. She will take all of that. But for Krishna, she cannot leave Krishna, so she's always attached to Krishna. Even she, so much so that she wanted to even join the Rasa Leela with Krishna's cowherd friend, but she couldn't do it because of her attachment to the opulence of being the goddess of fortune. Another great opulence was that previously the river Ganges was the most purifying agent in the material universe. Everybody knows the effects of the Ganga. But he said, since Krishna came and he took birth in the Jadu dynasty, then even the members of the Jadu dynasty, simply by his Krishna's association, all of those dynasty, and there were millions and millions of family members, they all became as purifying or even more purifying than the river Ganges, simply because Krishna took birth as one of the family members of the Jadu dynasty. And another qualification was that the holy name of Krishna, so powerful. The chanting the holy names of Vishnu 3,000 times, which is glorified throughout the Vedas, the name of Vishnu. He is the great Lord of the world, Vishnu Narayan. You chant his name 3,000 times. It's, chanting Krishna's name one time is equal to that. The potency is equal. So, like this, Krishna is being glorified. Today's his appearance. Oh, there was a. Today, Radha Madhava were wearing a kingly dress. There was a. So, there was a pastime of Krishna, and the demigods came and coronated Krishna, king. You are the king of Vrindavan. So they had a big ceremony, big function, Abhishek ceremony. Coronated Krishna as the king of Vrindavan by the demigods. But then Radha's friend said, no, Radha also should be queen. If Krishna's king, then Radha's friend should be queen. So then they had another coronation ceremony called Radha. And they had a big coronation ceremony, Abhishek ceremony, and Krishna came. He said, yes, this is right. She should be queen. If I am king, she should be queen. So, and everybody was happy. They said, now Radha is queen, then all of your desires will be fulfilled. She's so magnanimous, so go ask her for anything, your desires will be fulfilled. So Krishna says, I have a desire. And they said, okay, write your petition down and we'll submit it. See if we can fulfill your desire. So Krishna, he wrote, he said, I want to be a policeman. And I want to go from forest to forest, proclaiming, Radha is the queen of Vrindavan. Radha is the queen of Vrindavan. Okay, we'll sanction that activity. So, okay. So they dress Krishna up, give him a nice pagri, coat, necklace, medallion, all ornaments. So now Krishna, I'm the police, I'm chief policeman. So I'm going to village to village. Radha is the queen of Vrindavan. Radha is the real queen of Vrindavan. Radha is the queen of Vrindavan. So today the dresses, they are like king and queen. So we can see in a few minutes Radha Madhav, the king and queen of Vrindavan. So how much thankful we are to Prabhupada for revealing this Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Shri Krishna Janmastami Mahotsav ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gopremanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.